Wind Down with Jana Kramer and Michael Kaufman, an iHeartRadio podcast.
So how would you like to welcome people today, Mike?
I'm nervous now. I don't know what to say. Hey, everyone.
It's not Monday. It is for you, but it's not for us.
What's it? I don't even know. What, to do? Tuesday?
Tuesday. Does it even matter?
Nope, doesn't.
Michael just got back from his two-week...
Bi-weekly grocery store adventure.
How was it?
It was, fortunately, quiet.
Good.
Yeah.
People are finally
so
listening.
So I went to Whole Foods and Publix because we get different things at different stores. And it was remarkably quieter than it had been in the past. Everyone, 95% of the people I saw had masks.
Was that so weird to see everyone have masks? Because I have not been out of the house. I'm losing my mind. I have not been out of the house for a little over a month. So I haven't seen like a store or driven my car. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to drive my car. I'm going to be like, ah, how do I stop this thing? But like, I can't imagine, like I was Zooming with some of my girlfriends last night and we were just talking about like, because they had gone to the store and I was like, man, what a weird reality that now we see, because I'm going to be real honest. Usually when I saw people with masks on, like at the airport, I'm like, and you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's like.
All right, easy.
I'm like, okay, calm down. But now it's like, I was like, Michael, do not leave without a mask
or
a scarf.
I feel like we live in Asia now. And that is, I mean, that's
you
just.
Went there.
No, it's not that. It's just the culture. You see that often in their culture. Because you got to think about it. They're so overpopulated.
Is that why?
I think so. I think it's
smarter than us.
I think it's a part of their culture, and I also think it's because they're so densely compacted, like in population, where it's things probably spread easier there. Possibly. When you're on top of each other as much as they are.
Or maybe they're just a lot smarter and they're like, saw this coming before y'all did.
Right, but I'm saying even before.
No, I mean before. Like it's like they're more aware of, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think it's a mix of both.
But now it's like, I was like, you have to wear either a scarf or we don't have a mask, so you wore
bandana.
But that must have been like what was it? Was it just weird to see everyone wear masks? Like, were the checkout people wearing them too?
Yep.
Oh my God, that's so weird.
And like, a lot of stores from Home Depot to Whole Foods to, I don't think Publix did, you know, a lot of them have like temporary glass shields up, like between the cashier and the customer.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I feel I'm kind of glad. I know that we said that I was going to go grocery shopping because you have bad asthma, but I think I'd have anxiety attack just seeing all that. Like, I think it would feed my anxiety more, and then I would totally freak out, and then I for sure couldn't drive my car because I'd be like, gum.
And then you'd forget half the things I needed you to get.
Yeah, I would just be like, I just need to get out of here. I can't breathe.
I think this is the lesser two evils. That gives us less anxiety if I go and you stay. Because if it's the other way around, I'd have anxiety of you not getting the right things. Yeah. You'd have anxiety of being there.
Yeah. And I would just leave real fast and forget everything. But because I think just seeing that is just like the reality of just like, oh, man, like this is not good.
Yeah. It's just going to be interesting what a lot of people have been talking about, the new norm. You know, like, what's the new norm going to be? How long is this going to be a thing? How long are these dividers going to be up at grocery stores or Home Depot? How long are people going to be wearing masks?
I mean, honestly, I feel like we should take these precautions. I mean, not to the economy shutdown, but, you know, for flu season. Like, let's not shake hands, even though that's hard for me to do. But, like, you know, just to be more cautious during those times. Like, hey, it's flu season. Because a lot of, like, 16,000 people a year die from the flu. So it's like, hey, and obviously COVID's worse than that and it's more death rate, but I feel like we should just put more things in place to not easily spread things.
I think
but I have a headache from cleaning all the groceries. I don't know if it works. I don't know if it's I'm wasting my time, but all I know is that this time around I washed everything with the Clorox and now I have a headache so bad. But I will say, just because I'm a mom, when we get any of the groceries out the next few days, like, we just need to make sure we really wash our hands, because I might have missed a spot and it lives on there for a minute, so like for a few days
for sure.
So it's just like, for the next few days. Let's really like be mindful.
Absolutely.
Sorry, just to let you guys in on a little, like, you know, husband wife chat. And we had a little passiveness while I was doing it, and I don't know why, but I'm really excited because we have a really awesome guest on today, Laura Prepon. She's an actress, she's a mother, she's now an author. She was on the Netflix series Orange is the New Black, and obviously she made her television debut on That 70s Show. Did you watch That 70s Show?
I never did.
I didn't either, but I heard it was funny.
I've heard great things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I never personally did.
But I'm excited to meet her through Skype, and I'm excited to hear about her book and her journey as a mom. So super excited. You know she's married to Ben Foster? A little fun trivia fact.
I think I did know that.
He's such a great actor.
He's fantastic.
Oh my God. What was the movie with him and Chris Pine that we are obsessed with?
Oh, Hell or High Water.
Hell or High Water. That's one of my favorite movies.
That is a top movie.
Like, probably top seven.
It's in the top 10 for sure.
Yeah. So it's like, if you guys haven't seen that movie, it's incredible. Did you watch Orange is the New Black?
I started it, I remember, years ago, like kind of shortly after it came out. But I think it was one of those times where, you know, I was trying to watch like four different shows at one time and it just got lost in translation.
I watched the first few seasons.
Yeah. Did you like it?
Yeah, it was really good. I liked it a lot. There's something about women in jail. You know me, I have like a weird thing with
Gina likes her with badass women.
I do like them a lot. So right before the whole quarantine thing happened, I got to meet Abby Wambach and Glennon Doyle, and it was like, dreams, they do come true.
Gina's like fantasy all in one room.
I was like, I couldn't even talk to Abby. I was just like smitten. Dumbfounded. Yeah. Smitten like a little kitten. She could have just put me in her pocket and I've been fine with it.
I'll be your little girl toy.
Oh, I know. I'm really excited to talk to Laura, though, because she seems like a badass. Let's take a break and then let's get her on. Yay! Hi, Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you. Amazing. You look beautiful. I'm very jealous. You've got makeup on.
What are you talking? I'm a new member of the tour. You look amazing. You guys both look fantastic.
I love you. I think you're funny. I think you're a badass. And, you know, now, like, how, you just had a baby in February, didn't you?
Yeah, the end of February.
Oh. Wow, congratulations. Yeah,
how are you doing right now in New York?
I'm doing okay. You know, because we have a newborn, we had planned to be isolating and having this time be to our family just so we can bond with our baby and our toddler. So we had planned to be isolating now anyway before my book tour, which is now a virtual book tour, started. So, but we were definitely planning on isolating for very different reasons. Mm-hmm. But we're doing okay. You know, we try to stay informed, of course, and not let it be too scary, you know, because kids pick up on that stuff, you know? So we're really trying to stay informed and find levity and laugh when we can, because you just have to find levity or it's just all too devastating. Mm-hmm. So we try to just laugh when we can, spend a lot of time with our kids. And we're just doing what we can, just like everybody else.
Is the newborn a boy?
Yes.
And then the older one is a
she's a girl. And she was born in, 2017. I have milk brain right now because I'm breastfeeding.
It's
2017,
all good.
Maybe. But yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible. Having two is a lot, especially with the self-isolation and everything. But you know what I'm saying?
Two was a really rough transition for us because we have a 4-year-old girl and then a 16-month-old little boy. So
congrats.
Thank you.
But like, it's when we hit two, it's like, I'm really glad we had a lot of therapy because I don't know if we would have like made it through, because it's hard. Because like, you don't have time at all. It's just like, I got one, you got one. And then it's like, then, yeah, it's definitely a real tough transition. Did you find it hard or?
Well, you know, we're only like 7 weeks in. So it's not, It's been really, thank goodness. Here's what I will say. Thank goodness our toddler is sleep trained, because we were really strict with the sleep training at a certain point. At a certain point, we're like, we have got to
figure this out. We started 3 months for every kid. Same.
Okay. So we started with our daughter. We started too late. We started way too late, but we got to a point where we were just like, we have to handle this. This is, you know, once they're sleep trained, for us, it was a game changer.
Oh, game changer.
Because then they go down, and then number one, I feel like it's much better for her. And this is my own personal experience. Like, look, I would never tell anybody how to parent ever.
No, but like what you were saying, though, it is better for them too, though. Like, and I'm like such an advocate. Even like I have girlfriends that their kids don't go to bed till like 9, 10 o'clock. And I'm like, that's great. It works for you. But for us, like I know my kid, like she's a better toddler the next day when she gets sleep, like 100%. When she does the nap and she has the routine. So I'm totally like on same page, like the sleep training.
And for us, it's better too, because we know she goes down to her bedtime and then, you know, my husband and I have time to, you know, download the day and like hang out together and have dinner together. And like, you know, when it's not the state of the world that's happening now, if we put our kids down and then we get a babysitter, we can maybe go to dinner. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, everything is such a game changer when the kids are sleep trained. But again, everyone has a different way they parent. Awesome. Mm-hmm. But for us, it was a game changer. So, but now with the newborn, of course, that's all out the window. But I got to say, the fact that we know our daughter goes to sleep at a certain time.
Yeah.
Helps, so then we're just focused on the newborn. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
you see that light at the end of the tunnel, knowing that your newborn eventually is going to get to that point where she is too, and that's kind of where we're at. Where it's like, okay, we know at 7 o'clock the kids are down.
We're high fiving.
We're
man.
Like, we survived another day. We're good.
Exactly.
Popping open a bottle of wine or having a drink, and it's party time.
But you guys started both at 3 months.
Yeah, I was so strict. Like I was just, you know, once. I would say it's eight.
Well, there's that book too. It's
Baby Wise.
12 weeks. Oh, that's true. Like 12 weeks old.
Yeah. I mean, they're kind of the similar, but we went by Baby Wise, and then it was just eat, feed, play, sleep.
Yeah.
But I mean, it worked like a dream, and it worked for Jace too. I will say though, on our second, Jace doesn't need as much sleep as Jolie did. So we kind of had to, unfortunately, we dropped a nap sooner. But I mean, having a little boy is just like, isn't it the best?
Oh, it's the best.
Oh, I'm so obsessed.
I'm so glad that our first was a girl. Really am. Because I always thought, I wasn't one of those people who like would dream about the day I got married or the day I had kids. That just was never me. Like started working at such a young age. I was always so focused on my career, and I knew that I wanted to wait until I met my partner. I wanted to wait until I was with my husband, the one I was supposed to be with. And my husband and I didn't get together until I was 36. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to speak for him, but I focused on my career. And then finally he came into my life, even though we've known each other since we were 18.
Oh wow.
Wow.
You know, we took this, you know, the bumpy
the
road.
Scene,
we
earned each, get other, to each man. Other. Yeah.
We always say that we're like, we earn each other. But it's, you know, the fact that I started late just was a very different experience for me. But the fact that we had a girl first, I thought was very, very cool. Like I never planned my wedding or thought about, you know, jumped about the kids. And then finally, when it was right, it was just right. But if I ever did have the thought, I always thought I was going to have a boy first, which was weird.
Well, and I kind of wanted a boy first because I grew up with an older brother. And
me
so,
too.
So I kind of was like, yeah, I want like the older brother. But I will tell you what, you know, I'm so glad I had a daughter first, too, because she's so good with the baby. And she's just she's really like, I think she helped ease my way into motherhood a little bit, because obviously we don't know what we're doing. But there's something about a little girl just having, I don't know, it just
that connection.
It really, yeah. But now, I mean, the little boy, it's just, it's such a different
love.
Yeah,
I'm right there with you, where it's the same. Yeah, I totally get it.
But
it's
in awesome. Your book, so it's you and I as mothers. And when I was reading the breakdown, you said you're like, you were blindsided when you became a mother. What blindsided you? What was the thing that was just like, that you weren't expecting?
Any of it. any of it. I've always been, and I prided myself on this. Like, I've always felt like the rock. I've always been, my friends call me like the Rock of Gibraltar. Like they would always come to me to get things done. I think that's why I tend to thrive in different kinds of roles like director, because as a director, I'm really good with large amounts of responsibility and pressure and stress.
Like you thrive in chaos.
Yeah, like I'm very good at putting like order into a situation like that, which is why I feel like directing's so comfortable for me. But when I became a mother, it was like I was a complete, like I could not take care of myself or my family, everything. And it wasn't postpartum anxiety, or sorry, depression. It wasn't depression. It was an anxiety that I've never experienced before. And the anxiety came from protecting this baby that I didn't understand what was going on. Number one, I didn't understand the hormones. The hormones just took over and I had no clue what the hell to do. Mm-hmm. I could not take care of myself. I couldn't take care of my family. I wasn't nourishing any of us properly. Like I was totally, and then I was so stressed out and it would affect my milk. It was like a whole thing. And I had really, really bad postpartum anxiety. And that's probably one of the biggest things that threw me, being someone who's usually the rock that people come to. I felt like I couldn't take care of myself or my family. And it was mm-hmm. really, really hard for me. And then that's when I decided that I needed to write this book, because I feel like there's all these things that as mothers, we don't talk about that are still kind of like shrouded in darkness, and I don't in secrecy, and I'm not sure why, because it's okay that we don't have everything figured out right now. You know, I also, as a working mom, being a stay-at-home mom is just as hard. but for me as a working mom, I felt like I would wear this like maternal badge of honor. Like I had this macho approach to maternity. Like I was going to go back to work and nobody would know that I'm suffering. Nobody would know that I'm like, I can power through on no sleep. And you know, the fact that I'm a complete basket case, I'm like, nobody's going to know. Like I had this weird thing that I had to prove something. And I wasn't sure why. I'm like, why? Why do I have this thing that I feel like I need to prove? Like, and I realized that I was suffering from all these things, like the stress, the loss of control, mom guilt, like self-care. I felt like I didn't deserve self-care. Like all these things, I realized that mothers of all ages were all dealing with. Mm-hmm. And that's why I interview my mom squad in the book, which is mothers of all ages, backgrounds, children, and they have all children of different ages. And I specifically wanted not only myself, my own stories, but my mom squad, so that anybody can really read this book and have something to relate to. Because I feel like we're all suffering from these common subjects, you know what I mean? So that's why I wanted to write this. I couldn't find this book out there. So I was like, I'm just going to write it.
You know, I have an incredible amount of empathy for you moms, because you don't hear of dad shaming, right? You hear of like mommy shaming, and it feels like society and people have put all the pressure on y'all. And when really it's equally the husband, you know, the mom and the dad, our responsibility to do and to go through all of this. And I know this second time around for Jana and I, really communicating on how we honestly feel in a moment really helped us, just being like, and allowed her to not feel alone, because Jana is very much like you. She thrives in chaos. If things aren't going crazy around her, she's uncomfortable. She needs like things to like, it's insane. She has to have it. So for her to finally lean into me and us to meet there, and for me to reassure her that she's not alone in what she's feeling at times, really helped us the second time around. And my question to you is like, how has Ben, your husband, you know, how has he stepped up as, you know, as a father and kind of, you know, been there? I want to focus on the positive of kind of the husband, wife, mom, dad connection, like for the second one around.
Yeah. I'm so fortunate because he is the best partner, husband, everything I could ever ask for. And before we got together, I wrote a list. I'm not kidding. And I say this to my single friends. I wrote a list of exactly what I wanted. And I'm like, this is what I want. And I'm not talking about like,
I did that. It's the Dear God letter. Please send me this man.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I wrote my version of that. Okay. And it's not about, it's like real true connection stuff that I wrote down, from like connecting on levels that it's not just about looks and this, I mean, obviously, of course, being attracted to your partner is a big deal, but it's like the really deep things that I was looking for in my life partner. And once I wrote that list, he was there. And that was, you know what I mean? So I did a lot of my own work to be ready to have him in my life. And that's a whole other, you know, situation. But, and that's why we say we like earned each other. But I'm really fortunate in that he's the most incredible partner I could ever ask for. And when I was going through all this, when I first started kind of putting it down and writing about it, he was the one who really inspired me to start writing it in the form of a book, where he's like, you can't be the only one dealing with this. And he said, there's, you know, there's so many other women out there that have got to be struggling with this too. And that was one of, you know, besides the fact that how I help work through things is by writing about it and getting it out. And, you know, that's what we do with our communication. We get it out. But he was a big inspiration on that regard to, you know, open my eyes to, you know, you should think about writing about this so that's people awesome. Can heal from it.
That sounds really supportive, yeah. Which is
I can't, like, amazing. You know what I mean? I'm very fortunate. And, you know, the other thing too is I also write in my book, you know, I have an entire chapter on partnership because, you know, everybody can relate to a chapter on partnership on how to keep your partnership strong after kids are in the mix. The other thing too is, and again, that's myself, my own stories, my mom squad, you know, a bunch of people chiming in. But the other thing too is that I can't tell you how many people have read the book, because it came out a week ago, who are not mothers or might or may choose not to be, who are still getting so much out of the book, as well as partners getting a better understanding of what their partner went through, you know, as they mothered. But I can't tell you how many people have gotten so much out of it because I speak to these things of, you know, stress, control, anxiety.
So that's what I was just going to ask. So in the book, because do you talk about ways like how you've been able to cope with your anxiety and ways that are the helpful for those suffering with anxiety? Because I'm like, I have mad anxiety, like awful anxiety. I mean, to the point where, you know, we were going to film something and I was just like, but if I'm not with the kids and, you know, and then I just like, I feel like a bad mom, but I'm trying to support my family. And so it's just one of those like struggles where it's just like, and then I'm terrified to fly because, oh my God, what if something happens? And then I just, my whole entire like just body is just taken over with anxiety and fear. So I'm just curious if you write about that too.
That's exactly what I write about. Like for real, that's exactly, there's a whole section on that. Because I was going through that as well. Here's the thing that was so important for me with this book was not only did I want to share these, because usually I've been fortunate enough to be in my industry for over 20 years and I love what I do. And it's a constant negotiation on, because I'm a very private person. So, and anything I do that involves my family, my husband and I have a conversation about it. And we make sure that we're on the same page with it because with what I do, obviously there's being in the public eye and we always make sure that we are in agreement with that. And so, but a lot of the stuff that I shared in my book is really personal stuff, but I felt like it was so important for the first time because I felt like there was this conversation that wasn't being had that I really wanted to drop my defenses and share these truths. And I share a lot of stuff in this book that I is really vulnerable for me, but I felt it was so important so we could really have this conversation. And, you know, one of the things too is besides sharing stories and the stories from my mom squad, giving tools was a huge thing that I wanted in this book. I wanted to give the reader tools so that after they read the book, after they take the time to read the book, because, you know, sitting down and reading a book, it's like, I want to make sure that I can give something back.
You're walking away with something. You're learning. Exactly. It's like going to therapy and then being like, but then what do we do to stop
fighting
or fix it?
Exactly. So I wanted to give that to the reader. So I give a lot of tools in the book that you can leave with and put into action in your life, because that is so badly what I wanted. And that is what I wanted to give the reader, because I needed tools on how to navigate through this. And again, when I was dealing with a particular anxiety, like something you were just talking about, you know, my friend who was an 18-year-old kid, she was dealing with anxiety, but because of a completely different subject, because her kid is older, but we were both dealing with anxiety. So it's really relatable to women of all ages. And those tools were really important to me to give. In the book, in every chapter, there's that. And then at the end of the chapter, I also ask the reader to reflect on their own situation. So it's, I really tried to make the book like a conversation, like a dialogue back and forth.
I love that. I want, like, I'm going to, can I order it on Amazon?
Yes, yes, of course.
Okay, perfect.
I'm gonna order it right now.
You and I are mothers.
It's out everywhere. Everywhere books are out, it's out. Okay. And it's on, you know, you can order a physical copy. You can get an ebook. It's out.
Do you dad have anxieties, by the way?
I mean, there are dads that do, but you know me, I'm.
Like, you do never get nervous flying?
What? I am. But that's why we balance each other out. Because for sure. I'm
on a plane and it's like terrible turbulence and I'm like, oh my God, I could have been a great mother and like my kids are never going to know me. And he's just like sitting there watching his iPad like nothing's happening.
I control what I can control.
Balance is everything. I mean, that's so great.
Yeah, we have to. Well, I mean, you pretty much answered my question about what can people, you know, leave with the out of, you know, this book. And but I will say, I appreciate and respect the fact that you're being so open, because I understand being in the public eye and being of celebrity status, it's scary to lean into that honest, true emotion and experience that you may be going through. Right. But with a book like it sounds like yours is, you can't bullshit that stuff. Like people, right. Readers will read right past that, be like, this isn't me. This is all fluff. And so right. I'm inspired to read it with Jana, and especially that you talk about partnerships and that people that aren't even married and don't have kids can get something out of it. Jana and I are all about that life and that therapeutic life and learning more about each other and everything. So we'll definitely check it out. And we hope all the readers, married or not, or kids or not, check it out too.
Yep. You and I as mothers. Laura, thank you so much. I know you're on this crazy book tour right now. So I love you.
This is a treat. Thank you guys so much for having me. And thank you guys for what you're doing. And thanks for having me on, you guys.
You're awesome, the best. Laura. So excited to read your book.
Thank you so much.
Bye, girl.
Bye, guys.
Bye. She's so sweet.
Super sweet.
So sweet. Loved her.
She was awesome.
I just really appreciate what she said, that she tried to find the book and she couldn't find it, so she wrote it. Like, I appreciate people that are willing to share their stories because they couldn't find it for themselves, so now they're wanting to give it back to somebody else. Mm-hmm. I really love that a lot.
No, I think it's great, and it's very powerful thing for someone to do.
I just think it's funny though, that, like, the difference in a mom and dad when it comes to just the reality. I mean, so much so that I freak out because you know, for some reason Jace's room just does not get heat to it. And he's, you know, Michael's been quarantined up in the room, up in his media room, like playing video games like at night, and he like will keep turning the cooler on. And I just, like, in my mind, there's been so many times when I've gone up there and I'm like, Michael, you have to keep the heat on because it's going to freeze in that little boy's room. And I just, like, I stay up, and it's just like, maybe that's why I'm waking up in such a panic every night. Because even last night I made sure to go upstairs. I put the heat on, and then, you know, I was like, oh, honey, it's really cold in his room. So I put the heat on, like, please don't change it. And I swear to God, this morning when I woke up and got that little boy, he was like an icicle in his room. You put the damn cooler on. What were you thinking?
I even told myself, I was like, Mike, don't forget.
She's going to ream your ass.
It's not even that. I was just worried about little man being cold.
He literally was like, I walked into his room. I was like, mother.
So that started our morning off great.
But it's just like, you know, again, like, I wake up in the middle of the night thinking of those things. And you're just like, you wake up and you're like, I want some chicken nuggets with french fries.
But and it's every, you know,
it's just so funny.
Cartoon, or, you know, when there's the funnies in the papers, the funny papers, like the old comic cartoons and the papers and stuff, it's like you see all those, you know, representations of women thinking in-depth thought, and men's like, you know, thinking about what, you know, what color their poop was that morning or something. So it's, I mean, guys in general, I think, are a little bit more lax, but in our relationship, you know, I am. And again, we balance each other out. And
do you ever worry, like, what are your fears about parenthood and in the kids? Like, do you genuinely have any fears or anxiety? Or do I just carry them all for you? do I worry enough for you? I do,
but my whole thing is about being prepared. So,
well, you have an arsenal because you think zombies are coming.
Hey, we didn't know COVID was coming.
You can't shoot it.
And Jana gave me shit about all these latex gloves that I bought for the garage to clean stuff. We use them all the time now.
I did. That came in handy.
So did
the 50,000 sanitizer bottles that I bought like a year ago.
It's, for me, I think it's just preparation. I always tease that, you know, I have like a part of my personality is like a doomsday prepper, and I want like a fallout shelter one day or something. But that's what relieves my anxiety, is if shit goes down, we have what we need. And, you know, that goes back to when I was a kid. You know, the thing I've said about my dad is like, in any situation, regardless of...
You said this in therapy last week.
Yeah, of how things are going. I never was truly worried because I knew my dad could handle something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it didn't matter what it was. I just knew my dad would handle it. And it was such a reassuring feeling as a kid.
That's cool.
Like, at the end of the day, my dad's got us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so... And that's... I want that so badly for y'all. Like, I want our kids, I want you to be able to be like, no matter what's going on in the world, we're together and dad's got us.
He might freeze you out of the house, but he's got you.
He might have the AC on in the wintertime, but he's got you. It is. Oh, it's just one of those things. Like that. So that's, for me,
yeah.
I think it's naturally instilled in me to be calm, cool, and collected in a lot of ways because that's how my dad was. And I want to be that rock in that sense for y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think every man wants to be for their family, but it's just knowing that my dad absolutely was that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really register a lot of fears in situations.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I like it. I mean, I can understand that for sure. And I'll say you're becoming my rock because you are better with my anxieties and stuff instead of making me feel stupid. Yeah. You've done an incredible job with that. So, I mean, I'm starting to trust in the rock.
That I got you?
Yeah. Right.
And the theme of the previous episode, she still has questions. But how big of a rock are you? Are you a gray rock? What kind of rock are you?
Yeah, I know. I've stopped asking as many. But here's the deal. Sometimes we're just a nagging wife.
Yes.
And I love that that's what we argue about now, because I'd rather argue about a nagging wife than a...
That's true.
You know what?
Yeah, than lies and...
I wasn't going to say it.
It ain't no secret.
All right, let's take a break.
All right.
USA Today article suggests that you should text all your exes just in case you have one more thing you wanted to get off your chest.
Why? That was USA Today?
USA Today suggested that you should text all your exes just in case you have one more thing you wanted to get off your chest. If you had one ex to text. Oh, I like it. I should start the hashtag one ex to text challenge.
Oh, you just want to stir the pot right now while everyone's quarantined with each other?
Hey, it's not me. It's USA Today. 1X to text challenge. All right, who would you text and why?
Here's the thing. What I make up is you have two ways to go with this. You're either going to text them like, I'm sorry, my bad, or you're going to text them, I miss you.
Why would you say that you missed an ex?
Not me, but I'm saying people. Like, what else would you have? Hey, I had broccoli for breakfast. Like, what are you going to text them and say?
I would text an ex and say, I'll tell you right now, I know exactly the ex that I would text. I would text the ex. Is there a baby crying?
No, I think it was me breathing in.
It sounded like a dying cat.
You know when you get like a little whistle in your nose?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, okay. So my hashtag 1x to text challenge is, I would say, I'm really sorry for the person that I was and the way that I wasn't healthy enough to be in that relationship.
Who'd you say that to?
Brantley.
It's out there.
Shut it.
Brantley?
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, I was just, I wasn't, you know.
Let's get them on. You
no,
can tell them.
Oh, my God, no. I'm just saying, I wasn't the best version of myself in that relationship. I just wasn't. And
for sure.
I always have a little bit of regret that I didn't handle things better.
For sure. And that's adult and mature of you. I mean, I would practically say the same thing.
To yours?
Yeah. Mm.
Well, we're not going to reach out to them because that wouldn't be healthy.
Do you know mine, who mine would be?
Yes, I know who.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
Anyways.
All right. Right. Well,
Janice spilled her beans. So if y'all can email.
No, we are not. That's done. Okay.
Oh. Janet just wanted to take this opportunity to.
Well, actually, no. You guys should DM us on our Wind Down Podcast Instagram.
Account.
Yeah. So it's Wind Down Podcast. DM us and let us know your 1X that you want
and
us and why. And we will next episode, we will
share some.
Share.
You can be anonymous, but just share the person's first name.
Yeah.
So we can be like, for Stacy out there, I'm sorry for.
Yeah, we'll be your apology. I love that.
Sweet. Or your, not just your apology, or your.
Or your F you, you mother, beep, beep, beeper, beeper.
Or I miss you.
Ooh.
Ooh. This is going to be fun.
Do we have any emails?
We do. Let's,
I'm going to check my DMs too on the Wind Down Podcast and see if we've got any. But
okay.
Read me an email first.
All right. This email is from a tourist in my own world.
Mm.
It's titled Issues in the Bedroom. My boyfriend and I have been together for 6 months. This email is from a tourist in my own.
Oh my God.
Okay. Start over. Easton, please cut all this.
It's on okay. Tori to do it. She might not.
All right. This email is from a tourist in my own world. And the title is Issues in the Bedroom. My boyfriend and I have been together for 6 months. We are having problems in the bedroom. He has had problems in the past where a girl has told him not to climax. So when we were in the moment, I said, it's okay if you can't. I didn't know that bothered him until 3 weeks later when he told me that's why he's been acting distant. He said he knows I said it coming from the best place, but he mentally didn't respond well. But now he says he doesn't want to have sex right now. He's distant. I'm so worried he's unhappy with me. My anxiety and depression are through the roof, even with all the individual therapy I do. Mike, how can I more understand why he doesn't want to have sex with me? Gianna, how do you know when to let go and when to keep holding on?
That's a bummer because I just wish y'all could maybe communicate about it. And I think if, you know, I would just try to sit him down and have a conversation with him and just talk about like how it made it feel. And because there's nothing worse than having conversations about sex and not performing in the bedroom. I mean, that's what took Mike and I like a few months off of our pattern, I guess you can say, because when you have anxiety and then you talk about it and there's performance issues in the bedroom, it's just going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe just have one final last conversation, then don't bring it up again and see if it gets better. And just kind of go from there. But I would not beat the horse.
Beat
no
dead
pun
horse.
Intended.
12-year-old Jana.
Sorry.
How can I understand more? So yeah, to Jana's point, this is hard because for men, it becomes like a mental thing. And, you know, when Jana and I have had issues in the past, it does become this just mental handicap where you start, like, I would have anxiety when it got closer to bedtime because of just my fears of being intimate or performance issues or not being enough, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time since I've dealt with that, but it just takes time of just comfort. And for you, it was finally until Jana realized that the more she harped on me about it, or the more she, you know, pressured me about it, didn't help. That just pushed me farther away.
Yeah.
So once Jana was just like, didn't have these expectations and just was like, okay, like, you know, let's just lay in bed. Like, we don't even have to like bring up sex. Mm-hmm. You know, y'all could take sex off the table for a period of time, a couple of weeks, a couple of days, a month, whatever, and then allow him to get more comfortable, you know, going through the day with you. So leading up to bedtime, there's no pressure.
Yeah.
So it's tough. You know, it's a sensitive thing for guys.
Have a DM from the Wind Down Podcast Instagram. Question for the podcast. Would love some outside advice. My husband's parents are verbally, mentally abusive. And his dad threatened me last spring because they feel I'm taking their son away from them since him and I have started standing up to them. My husband decided he wanted to cut them off out of their life after he threatened me, so we haven't talked to them in months. The issue now is that I am 8 weeks pregnant, and my husband is really struggling with knowing his parents won't be involved in his kid's life, and it's making him very sad, and I don't know how to support him. I told him previously if he ever felt he wanted to change his mind about cutting them out, as long as we are safe, I would support him in whatever he decided. That being said, I now have to think about a kid and their safety, and I do not trust his parents to be a part of their life. How would you handle this?
Wow. And how and why is there an issue?
I just think he says because, or she said because they had threatened and they felt like, you know, she was taking him away from the family. Because they started staying, like, because the son was being like, you can't talk to my wife like that.
Psycho family.
Well, look, yes, but I also think some families are just very, you know, especially when the son, like, Lord knows what I'll be with my son. I mean, granted, not to threaten someone, like, that's so severe. Like, that's not okay at all. At all. And honestly, you know, as I was reading it, I was just starting to think, like, I got really protective as a mama bear. And I'm like, no way the kid is going to be around the grandparents. But at the same time, if that's like your parents, that's such a hard situation. I would probably say, like, if they start to show any sign of remorse or empathy or say they're sorry, then maybe I would let them have like a visitation, not alone with the baby, but like with your husband and the baby and you there too. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to be there, then make sure your husband like is, you know, absolutely by the baby. Because I totally get them, you wanting them to have a relationship too. But if they're threatening you, like, you don't want any part of that. And that's not going to be healthy for any situation. And you also don't want, that's just like not good.
No. And I mean, unless she is, you know, batshit and like really just a bad influence on him or something that we don't know about, mm-hmm. why would someone's parents threaten them? And like the fact that they're together and having a kid. For me, even if it was my parents, if they acted that way, mm-hmm. I'd be like, F you. And the only way you're going to see your grandkid is if they do what you're saying, where over a period of time, mm-hmm. they show remorse, they show empathy and sincerity with them being sorry in the way they were, and maybe they can warm up to having some time. But I'd have no issue cutting out my parents if I had to, mm-hmm. if they were acting that way. None. Yeah. But that's just me.
No, I mean, same. Anything to protect. Because end of the day, it's, I can handle any threat, whatever. It sucks and it hurts. But when it comes to my kids, like, I'm going to mama bear the crap out of them.
Oh, yeah.
And ain't nobody coming near me or my kids that are going to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
Should I read one more or do you think we're done?
We can do it. I like this handyman email. unless you found a good DM.
I mean, there's a bunch of good DMs, like how you're handling, like managing anxiety. And right now, drink works and wine and a lot of deep breaths and quiet time. Read the handyman one, baby.
Okay, this one's from Jamie, my handyman. I wanted to follow up with you about asking questions when my husband does a project. My husband is not as handy as Mike, I think. So I do ask a lot of questions, and I'm totally judging, lol. Also, when he does a project, I criticize how he does things because it's not how I would do it or it's not how I envision it. How do I go about this? First of all, Jamie, I appreciate your honesty. Mm-hmm. Second, so what I tell Jana, you know, if, say, going into a project, he's like, oh, I want to do this. And you start to have these feelings around it or expectations. Sit down and talk ahead of time. Be like, hey, do you want to talk out like what your plan is with it? And I'm not trying to control the situation. I just don't want to be unfair to you where you do it and I ask questions and then I'm critical of how you do it. I just want to understand. So like with the patio thing or the show, you know, the board and all this, or the board, I forgot, but with the patio thing that I built, if Jana, like going into it, she's like, oh, so what do you think you're going to do for this? I would have talked her through it. I'd be like, okay, I'm going to border with 2x4s and I'm going to, you know, use soil and flatten the ground, then I'm going to put rocks. And then she could have any questions then, and it wouldn't be as, it wouldn't come across as critical after, because it was before I did the project. If it's after I did something, the only way that I can receive that is that, is as criticism. Because in my mind, the only reason you're asking a question is because you're critical or you're questioning it or you don't like it. If you ask the questions ahead of time and then y'all both on the same plane for the expectations of what it's going to be, what it's going to look like, and how it's going to function, then there doesn't have to be all these questions and passiveness and criticism. And because honestly, it's frustrating and it's emasculating and it sucks. And so, and if it's something, Jamie, that the handiwork isn't in your realm, like we talked about, you know, last episode, you know, it sucks to get criticized on something or feel criticized on something that the other person doesn't even do. So, honey.
Yeah, no, I agree with that for sure. I definitely agree with that. I think we should end on a quarantine PSA. I get one and you get one. I love all these little weird challenges today.
Okay.
Quarantine PSA. This comes to all the husbands out there that are listening and just tuning in for the last 1 minute because your wife is going to replay this. I was on a Zoom call last night with some of my girlfriends. Here is your quarantine PSA. Husbands, men, boyfriends, we are not your maids. Put away your shoes. And if you're up in the playroom, please clean as you go so that we don't feel like the asshole moms that have to come and clean and make them clean up. So thank you. Have a great day. Go for it, dude.
Yes. So this is my quarantine PSA to all you wives out there, girlfriends or significant others to your men or partners.
Just
remember. Shut up.
Shut up.
Leave me alone. No, mine would be, remember that no one person's way is the right way. Everyone does things differently, and that's okay.
Oh, snooze.
Snooze? No. Just because we don't do things on your timeline or in the fashion of which you do them doesn't mean it's incorrect. So, have a little grace.
All right.
Cut us some slack.
And that is your PSA quarantine from Jana and Mike. Have a good one.
Shut up!
See you next week.